Welcome to the new Divorce Radio Talk Show with your host, Joni Winberg. If you're thinking about getting a divorce, or you're going through a divorce, or are ready to move your life forward after your divorce, then we've got you covered. We will even help you get back into the dating game. The show will support you, make you laugh, and just be the thing you need to hear at this time in your life. And now, here's Joni.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Divorce View Talk Show. Hi, it's Joni Winberg, Certified Human Behavior Consultant and Divorce Mentor. Today, I'm actually going to have a great guest on the show, but I want to introduce my co-host first. Welcome, Roz, and hello.
Hi, Joni. I'm Rosalind Sadaka, a divorce and parenting coach and founder of the Child Centered Divorce Network. And we're both very excited today to have our guest, who's Linda Jacobs. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Linda?
Hi, Rosalind. I'm Linda Jacobs. I've been married and divorced. I remarried. My husband died of cancer, so I've been through several different scenarios of parenting alone, being a single parent, ran a childcare for years. We call it therapeutic childcare now. We didn't think so at the time, but now that all the brain research is coming up, I'm aware that we were way ahead of our time when we dealt with these children of divorce. So I have probably about 40 years of experience, all the way from Oklahoma to California, to Oklahoma, North Carolina, now to Florida. So just all different ages of children, practically every kind of experience you can imagine. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a counselor. I'm just a person who's worked with children, who love children, and have a lot of experience to share with other people.
Well, I tell you, I'm just thrilled that you're on the show. In fact, today we want to talk about the four legal drugs to use with children of divorce. And so this is a really good topic. I'm sure we have listeners saying, what is this all about? We're talking about drugs, but what are we really talking about, Linda?
Well, we're talking about the brain, and there's a lot of research now about the brain, and unfortunately, a lot of people that work with children in divorce don't understand all the research about the brain, and so what we're talking about is actually chemicals or neurotransmitters in the brain. And I just wrote that article that you read, and I think that's how we got on here, but a lot of people are just not aware of dopamine, serotonin, oxytocin, and cortisol. And every one of them plays a major role. And when you're under a lot of stress, and you know these children of divorce, many are under a lot of stress, then it affects the brain. It affects the brain wiring. It affects the release of these chemicals in the brain.
So is there a different purpose that each one of these chemicals has? And how does that relate to how children are responding when they're anxious, concerned, angry, and fearful about divorce and its consequences?
Well, dopamine, the first chemical, is about attention and reward. It's the chemical that helps you feel better, feel good. Everybody can release dopamine in their system by just sitting back, closing your eyes, and thinking of a perfect place you want to be, like thinking of going to the beach with my grandchildren. That feel-good chemical is being released in my brain. So breathing deep and relaxing, that's dopamine in the brain. And then serotonin is, this is the level of affirmation. Also releasing serotonin helps you to feel good. And they're just little things that you can do. Serotonin is definitely affected by stress in the brain. It reduces the level of serotonin. This is interesting. I didn't know this till a couple of years ago. But children who have lower levels of serotonin in their brain will speak louder. They start talking really loud. And so that's a good signal that they have lower serotonin levels. And what you can do for that is stretching, breathing calmly, diaphragm breathing, we call it belly breathing, breathing from the diaphragm, cross lateral, cross middle midline, all these exercises which will help raise the serotonin level. The oxytocin is the chemical that we think of as the attachment or trust chemical. And, you know, a lot of these little babies, when they're born, if their parents are fighting, a lot of times they have problems attaching to the primary caregiver because the parents are just, they're so into the war that they're in that the baby kind of gets left out. Mm-hmm. So we want these children to attach to a primary caregiver, and that's where churches and child care can come in, and they can help develop this And oxytocin is also the trust chemical. So, you know, a lot of these children don't trust because one parent left. They don't understand why a parent left. So we need to work at helping these children develop that the oxytocin and help it being released. And that can be done by relationships, by hugging, by shaking a hand, by just connecting with these children.
Touching.
Yes, touching. And, you know, we don't touch children anymore. It's all this...
Mm-hmm.
I work with churches, and I actually talk to churches who say, well, our church has a rule, we can't touch these children.
I know. That's
crazy when I hear that. So children need to be touched. God designed our bodies to be touched. And so hugging, like I said, shaking hands, just that relationship. And then cortisol is the stress management. Cortisol is released when we're under tremendous amounts of stress and maybe in a hurricane or a tsunami, you know, something really big, a house fire, but then just locally within your own family, that's the divorce and the separation and all the stress that's going on. So cortisol is good unless we have too much cortisol released in the brain. And then cortisol can damage the brain. It actually can rewire the brain and damage children's cognitive abilities over a long period of time.
Is that because they're younger, that it can really damage early? As you're saying, it's because the children,
it's prolonged. So if you have warring parents, and you know, if the parents, when they separate, if they could just get along and leave the child out, that would help so much. But they can't get along. That's why they're getting a divorce. And I know, Raj, you do a lot of work with children of divorce and lawyers and court systems and things. So it's the prolonged stress. So some children of divorce are going to do better than others depending on their support systems around them. You know, back in the 70s, when 69, when Ronald Reagan signed the no-fault divorce decree, I lived in California when he signed that. And we just saw divorce just go rampant at that time in the early 70s. And we kept hearing, children are resilient. Children are not resilient unless they have a support system around them.
Absolutely. That's such an important term you're using, support system. And for me, the key is understanding that children will respond depending on the attitude of the parents. If we approach divorce as, oh my God, this is the worst thing that could have happened to us, and look what your mother or father did, and I don't know how we're going to get through this, then children will immediately close up, they'll be filled with anxiety and fear, and every stress that happens to them is going to affect them more deeply. If, on the other hand, parents approach this and say, Mom and Dad haven't been getting along, and we feel we'll get along a lot better as a family if we're living in two different homes, so we're going to change on behalf of all of us, and life is going to be more peaceful. And this is going to be a better thing for us all. And Mom and Dad will always be your Mom and Dad. We'll always love you. But there's going to be a change in the format of our family. And that's okay, because change is part of life. When kids hear something like that, then they move into a mode of saying, okay, so what's next? They ask questions, but they're not filled with anxiety. And if neither parent points the finger and blames the other parent and shares their adult dramas with their innocent children, then the children have an opportunity to remain children, to stay in their childhood, and to move through the changes ahead because of that support system they have. But yeah, the parents have to be guided accordingly.
Definitely. And what I'm hearing both of you say is that the parents, by giving them this information, they really have the power to help the children through the divorce. And I don't think parents really realize, now that you've talked about all these chemicals and drugs that are released and how we can build their self-esteem, Linda, I think to me it's a wake-up call for parents to say, you really have the ability to make a difference in that child. And it's not going to a therapist, or which if you have to, you have to, but this is showing that you have the ability and the power to do this every day right in your own home.
But you have to remember, many of the parents, a lot of parents don't know there was going to be a divorce. So that one partner walks in, says, I want a divorce, and walks out. So then you have this parent that's left, that's under shock, their dopamine levels are low, their serotonin levels are low, they're barely surviving. That's what happened to me. It was all I could do is get through the day, walk home, and climb up the stairs to the bedroom. So I think that, again, is where we need to work with single parents. We've left out working with single parents. We teach them how to get the divorce. We teach them how to go to mediation. We teach them what to say to the lawyer and all that. But then what happens after that? Again, those parents need a support system, too. Oh. And that's what I do. I do divorce care, divorcecare.org, and I run a single and parenting group at my church. All those type things to help these parents be better parents, because in the long run, that helps the children.
Oh, absolutely. And that's, Roz and I have said this all along, that's where the ball's dropped, after you either walk out of court or everything is finalized, and then all of a sudden, you're home. I call it as dealing with that once shared to-do list, now is your responsibility, and facing the whole ordeal of a single parent and then having to deal with your ex at the same time. That's huge.
And there are other support systems. Extended family can be a great support system, and we need to teach the single parent that it's his extended family on both sides, the father and the mother. Like I said, church support groups are really excellent because that's a family unit in itself. Other types, I know some of the public schools have small support groups. I wrote a program called Divorce Care for Kids, DC4K. It's been probably about 3,000 churches have been equipped with that. But what's so cool about that is it is a support system, a support group for children. And you don't hear about that very much. And we have had phenomenal success with that. And so all these things that I'm talking about, these chemicals in the brain, we do all of those things in divorce care for kids to help these children.
I love what you're doing. It's phenomenal, and it's so badly needed. We're all on the same page, that's for sure. So as far as anything else that you would say that parents can really be conscious, I think we're always talking about how to help parents be conscious of their child going through divorce or after divorce.
I think knowing where the child is in the brain, and we talked about the chemicals in the brain, but when I train divorce care for kids leaders or church leaders, I do a lot of workshops just on how you work with the challenging behavior child. And the majority of the children who are challenging behaviors are children of divorce, because of just the reason that we've already stated. And so when I'm working with these people, I like to tell them about the brain. When a child does not feel safe or there's a shock, they go to the lower levels of the brain, which just the brain, what I call the brain stem, the lower level of the brain. It's all about surviving. It's fight, flight, or fight. And so these children go to school. Something's happened on the way to school. Somebody says, "You stink because your parents divorced." It can be anything. The child goes to the lower level of the brain. They go into the classroom. They don't want to talk. Then they get in trouble for not participating. And it's all they can do. They just are barely surviving. Mm-hmm. And so when a child is on that level, what you can do is describe what their body is doing. "Oh, your face is going like this. Your shoulders are like this. Your head is like this. Or your hoodie's over your face," whatever. When you describe what they're doing, they will look at you. And that's when you start moving them up the brain. The next level is the limbic system, or the mid-level, and it's all about, "Am I loved? Am I loved? Am I loved?" And these poor little kids need to know that they are loved. Yes. Most children, when the parent leaves, feel like they are no longer loved by that parent, or the parent wouldn't have left. And so we really need to help them. And then the higher level is the frontal lobes cortex, where they know they can learn, they can make choices, and that's where we want them to be at that. You can teach a child in the higher level of the brain. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Definitely.
Linda, do you have any programs that are not live groups in churches? Do you have any books or courses where people who don't have access to your support groups can get the information for their children?
Yes, I write a blog. All right. I'm a professional blogger now, I guess. I get paid to blog. So I write 4 blogs a week. I write 3 for it's blog.dc4k.org. And what we've talked about today is all on there. I write 3 blogs every week. And then I write another blog for divorceministryforkids.com, which, Roz, I know you write for that, too, by Wayne Stocks. He started that a long time ago. He loves children. He wants to help people who work with children. So all of this is that we've talked about is if you can't get to a support group or you are not close to a church that has a program or a school, then you can educate yourself as a parent. And then I also have a private website called HLP4.com. It stands for Healthy Loving Partnerships for the Children in Our World. And I just write devotions for single parents. I just write things to help single parents. It's all free. So all of these things are free to help single parents.
That's wonderful.
Roz, I think you were picking up on the same thing I was, that what you were describing, Linda, and helping parents see the signs. I just want to go back for a second. You're helping the parents be aware of the signs or the behavior of the children to start to recognize that some of these things are really happening and how the children are suffering inside.
That's pivotal because, let's face it, parents are in shock sometimes. They're depressed. They're angry. They feel resentful. They're in what I call their drama. And it's understandable and justifiable in many cases. However, when that happens, too often they're not really paying attention to what's going on with the kids. And we hear phrases thrown around like, oh, children are so resilient.
Oh, I know.
They'll be able to handle anything. And it's true, children can be resilient when the parents set an environment in which that supports them, as Linda was saying earlier. But if not, children are going to fall through the cracks very easily. And not only are they feeling depressed and insecure and worried and some of them start parenting their parents because their parents are so helpless, it's robbing them of their childhood. It's robbing them of their innocence, and they're helpless. They can't do anything to fix or undo the divorce situation. So they're in a no-win situation without parents and other adults supporting them through this very, very difficult time. Mm-hmm. So we need, while Linda is working with the children, we need to be working with the parents and educating them on how to be alert, how to look for signs, how to communicate with their kids and give them permission to share and talk about what they're feeling and not cutting them off, not talking at them, but talking with them so that they feel they can be heard and understood and acknowledged for all the pain that they're going through. And once a parent closes that door and the kids are just holding all of that in, obviously, it's going to start turning into all kinds of dysfunctional behaviors and creating a lot of the problem areas we see in the schools and in society. And it's starting with the divorce handled poorly.
Well, and I tell single parents, you can do this. I teach single parents all over the United States, into Canada. I do Bible studies, or I just go and I speak with single parents. I do retreats and things. And I always tell them, you can do this. I did this. I had no special talent, but I did this. And I like to tell them that my son is now a doctor in Dallas, Texas area. My daughter is a master staff sergeant in the Air Force, does incredible things. They're both married. They both have given me wonderful grandchildren. They're very functional adults in today's world. And when you look, you can look at so many people in our United States that are raised by a single mom. So you can do this. But one thing we need to do, too, besides the single parents, is we need to work with child care people. These children live in early childhood latchkey programs because the parent has to work. And we are not training the latchkey, the early childhood programs. I just did a workshop over in Niceville, and I spoke before all these child care, early childhood people in Northwest Florida. And I gave them all this brain stuff and all this stuff about children divorce, and they were just amazing. Why has nobody told us this before? Mm-hmm. But that's a lacking area that we really need to work on also.
I think if you had to keep it simple, and if you're not sure what to do as a parent and you see your child suffering or you see some of the different signs, just like you said, Linda, at the beginning, just hug them. I remember the days when I was going through a lot myself. All I did was hug my kids a lot. Thank goodness they were little and they weren't teenagers yet to say go away. But I just hugged them all the time, and I said to them how much I loved them, and I'm always there to support them. I wasn't sure what else to do.
just worked with a single mom that was in an abusive situation. She remarried, and the stepfather was abusive to her 4-year-old, and the state had to be called in. They escaped and everything. But now our 4-year-old is just raging, and nobody knows what to do with him. And I'm like, of course he's raging. That's his voice. He doesn't know how to tell you what to do. So some of the things I told her, and I tell single parents all the time about how to control children, and this concept comes from Dr. Becky Bailey, ConsciousDiscipline.com, but it's the safekeeper concept. And you say, I'm the safekeeper. My job is to keep you safe. I'm here to keep you safe. And your job is to help me keep things safe. Because these children don't feel safe, and they're always in trouble. So then instead of being in trouble when they're running through the house, you go, whoa, remember I'm the safe keeper? Running's not safe. What could you do that would be safe? So the first time in forever, the child's not in trouble. And then I told this mom to create a safe place in the living room because she was sending him to his bedroom to rage. That's the worst thing that you can do. You're sending him to be all alone. He does not know how to manage his behavior. He can't do it internally, and he needs somebody to help him do it externally. So I said, make a safe place in your living room and let him help you pick it out and decide what to put in there. And he wasn't sleeping at nighttime. And so I was telling her all these things. And then I told her, I want you to do trunk-to-trunk hugs. And you can call it whatever you want to. This is a mommy hug game or whatever. Or mommy, I need a trunk hug or whatever you want to call it. Just put him in your chest and give him a tight hug. And just for a few seconds, let him go. So she did all those things the first night, and he slept through the entire night for the first time in months. See, because he felt safe, he felt loved, he was touched appropriately, and so then he could sleep all night long.
That's a fabulous story.
Yes.
That's wonderful. Linda, would you tell the listeners again your website, your blog, just so that people can go and learn more about you and connect with you if they'd like to?
Blog.dc4k.org, and that stands for Divorce Care for Kids. Blog.dc4k.org. The other one I post on is divorceministryforkids.com, and Roz posts on that one too. And then the third one is HLP4.com, HLP4.com.
That's fabulous. Linda, this has been really helpful information. I hope our listeners have gotten a lot out of it as much as we have, and just having the whole understanding of how to work with the kids and the adults as well. Roz, any thoughts that you have that you'd like to share with us before we have to go?
I'm just so enthusiastic about knowing about Linda's work, and I suggest that any of our listeners who wants to contact her and see if we could get her programs into local churches and in more communities and the work she does, and obviously those blogs are available to read, so you have a constant shot in the arm of good information to support you. It's so important for everyone to understand you are not alone. No matter what your circumstances are regarding before, during, and after divorce, you are not alone. There's help for you. And Linda Jacobs is just one other example of a wonderful person who cares and who's there and wants to share her information with you. So thank you so much, Linda.
Well, thank you. I could just talk all night about this
topic. We could talk for years.
I know what that's like. I ran a therapeutic child care. I worked in churches. All these areas, I have that experience, and the Lord has blessed me so much to be able to remember these kids' stories and know how to take those and let other people use them and be encouraged by it. So thank you so much for inviting me to talk to you guys today.
It's just been a pleasure and a joy, and thanks. And also, go ahead, Roz.
Thank you.
And then also to our listeners, you can watch this video as much as you like once it's produced. Go to www.divorceview.com. And while you're there also, on the right-hand side, you'll see the different programs and support that Roz and I have for you as well. Also, there's an email. If there's a particular topic you'd like us to talk about or discuss on the show, email us and let us know. We'll certainly do our best to talk about that particular topic.
These shows are all archived there, so scroll down because there are some wonderful shows, wonderful guests, and valuable information every week.
Absolutely. So thanks again for tuning in, and remember that there is always life and happiness after divorce. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next week.